Chapter 41. If he had a Christmas wish, he would have wished that his dad hadn't done his back in 3 days before Christmas, making it necessary for Foggy to spend December 23rd in the shop with Theo, packaging up people's pre-ordered turkeys and hams. It felt a bit like being Santa's elf, only without the toys and the factory environment, which anyone could tell you was crap work. Sort of like this. His feet and his back ached, and he was chilled to the bone because Theo insisted that with the shop being closed over Christmas and New Year's, today was the only chance they'd have to make sure everything in cold storage was packaged correctly and labeled accurately. That particular task fell to Foggy because he complained one too many times about Theo's singing voice. But in his defense... Okay, he didn't really have a defense. It was Christmas, and he was being a jerk to his brother because he'd rather be back at the house with Matt, helping construct a gingerbread house, or wrapping the last-minute presents that kept appearing on his bed every time Matt went out. He was continuing to visit his priest, but he hadn't said anything yet about whether or not he'd found the sense of purpose he seemed to feel such a desperate need for. Christmas had come at the perfect time in that case. The Nelson family wanted to spoil Matt, but they were abysmal gift wrappers, and Foggy had mastered the art of doing it properly for Matt, with textured papers and ribbons, not tape. That was just annoying. Gift bags were unoriginal and boring, too. He knew how to spoil Matt properly, and in full possession of that knowledge, his family were piling on. It was awesome. Or it would have been if he wasn't stuck in a butcher shop with a moody Theo and numb fingers from rearranging frozen meats for the better part of 2 hours. He didn't have a problem with hard work. He just wasn't a born manual laborer. He much preferred to exercise his mind rather than his muscles. Checking his watch, he groaned at the realization that it was 2.5 hours past closing time. He was going to have to revisit the whole legally required breaks thing with Theo. Shaking his head, he moved to leave the cold storage room, pausing and frowning when he heard a loud bang and shouting coming from the shop. That couldn't mean anything good. Maybe a customer was unhappy with their order and they were taking it out on Theo. He knew what they were supposed to do with disgruntled customers. Call Candace. She could charm anyone out of a snit. The one thing he wouldn't do was call Dad, especially when he was supposed to be at home resting his back, so that he'd have a chance at regaining some good humor and freedom of movement by Christmas. Making his way out of the back room, Foggy re-entered the shop and froze, fear flooding him. This wasn't what he'd expected, but maybe he should have. It was Christmas. Desperate people were still desperate at Christmas time. They were armed and wearing balaclavas, and one of them had a gun trained on him before Foggy could even blink, or sprint back to the safety of cold storage, which was only a fleeting thought and one he never would have acted on anyways. "Hands on your head! Get on your knees!" the nearest non-paying customer ordered, and Foggy kind of hated that he immediately complied, but that was what you were supposed to do, right? That was how you survived these situations. You did what you were told and just hoped they were only after the money in the till, that they weren't cold-blooded, college student-killing murderers. What did happen to his student loans if he died? Did they just get canceled out? That was an absurd thing to think about as he was getting on his knees, but he did think about it. And maybe it was being in that position, not with a gun pointed at his head, no, on his knees, watching his life flash before his eyes, that made him do something he hadn't thought about in a while. Foggy Nelson got on his knees, watched his big brother start to empty the register at gunpoint, a move that would save their lives but ruin Christmas, and he prayed. "Matt," he whispered. More like exhaled his name, just a breath, a plea, a prayer to the one person who could possibly hear and help him. "Matt, if you can hear me, it's Foggy. There's 3 guys armed in the shop. Help Matt, please. Please, 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 please." He was 90% sure it didn't work like this. He remembered the moment Matt told him that he could hear heartbeats, the second time anyway, The first time hardly counted because Matt was drunk. Had it really been almost a year ago? But he remembered quite clearly Matt saying that he could control it, that he could focus his hearing and his senses. It was unlikely that Matt could hear him in that case. He wouldn't be focused on the shop. He'd be focused on gingerbread houses and carols and general merriment. Except that he and Theo were two, nearly 3 hours later than they'd said they would be. And with Matt being smack dab in the middle of Nelson Christmas madness, there was a chance he'd be keeping an ear out for the first sign that he was headed home to him. Protective boyfriend Foggy might be, but Matt was even more protective. Foggy was never more sure of that than he was about 4 minutes later, just as Theo finished cleaning out the till and received a pistol smashed into his face for his trouble, knocking him out cold. As if that brutal action had caused it, the lights in the shop suddenly flickered out, plunging it into sudden darkness. Foggy didn't dare move, just in case it made the gunmen even more nervous and they opened fire. It seemed like the entire room was holding its breath, every man in it nervous, waiting for something. Though none of them except Foggy knew what. A shadow moved in the dark, and Foggy threw himself flat against the floor instinctively as the nearest gunman wheeled about, only to have his pistol wrenched from his grip, a masked man in black snatching it from him and beating him in the face with the small handgun once, twice, three times, 5 times in total before the man who had held Foggy at gunpoint slumped to the floor. There were two others to deal with, and Foggy raised his head, watching with a horrifying kind of fascination as the masked man drew their fire, flipping over the counter and knocking one man out with a flurry of fierce punches. He knew for sure then. There had been little doubt in his mind. He remained in his prone position on the floor, looking up at the masked man he knew to be Matt, as the guy who'd attacked Theo made a break for it, only to be caught around the neck and put in a chokehold until he passed out. None of them had even come close to touching Matt, and Foggy was going to say something to him, but then Theo groaned and slowly got to his feet, clutching the counter for support. The masked man vanished as quickly as he'd come, leaving Foggy to wonder if he'd dreamt the whole thing. It was late by the time Foggy got back from the police station, after what seemed like hours of statements and interviews, with uniformed officers barking questions at him, and Theo looking dazed and in serious need of a hug the whole time. Foggy needed a hug too. His mom supplied those in excess when he and Theo returned to the house. He left the storytelling to Theo and slipped quietly upstairs to his room, having no desire to speak to anyone except Matt tonight. When he opened the door and stepped inside his room, he found it dimly lit, the orange glow of the lamp casting soft shadows over the bed, where Matt was lying, supposedly asleep. Foggy glanced from the lamp to his boyfriend. That light was for him. Matt had no use for it. He must have known Foggy would want to talk when he came back. That could only mean one thing. He wasn't asleep. He'd stayed up waiting for him, and Foggy had no idea what to say to him or where to even begin. "Matt? I know you're not asleep," he said quietly, figuring they had to start somewhere. "I never said that I was," Matt replied with a soft sigh. "It would be kind of odd if you did," Foggy observed, shrugging out of his hooded jacket and kicking off his sneakers. "Touché," Matt muttered, as Foggy moved to sit on the edge of the bed. He glanced over his shoulder at Matt, who still hadn't moved. Something told him the reason for that wasn't that Matt was tired, despite the lateness of the hour. No, Matt was worried about what he was going to say, and as Foggy had already pointed out to him once, he had a tendency to say all kinds of stupid stuff. Tears welled in his eyes as he looked at Matt. He loved him. He was grateful to him, and he was scared for him, scared that this was only the beginning. "Foggy, please don't," Matt said, his voice breaking. I can't talk about it yet." "Okay," Foggy agreed, swallowing hard. "I love you, Matt, no matter what that means or what you do from here." "You mean that?" Matt asked hopefully, rolling over and letting Foggy see his anxious expression. You tell me, Foggy murmured, lying down beside him and tugging Matt across so that he was lying on top of him, his head resting on Foggy's chest. Foggy curled his arms around him and held him close, hoping Matt could hear and understand what he felt more and more with each passing second and with every beat of his heart. Lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. Love you, love you, love you. End chapter 41.